Srimatura Vrindavan Danki Jai Srinivasa Mayapur Vrindavan Jai Ganga Mai Ki Jai Yamuna Mai Ki Jai Tulas De Maharaj Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Shri Hari Nam Sankirtan Yagya Ki Jai Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Nitai Gaura Premana Ki Jai All glories to the Assembly of the Lords. All glories to the Assembly of the Lords. All glories to the Assembly of the Lords. All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gaur. Hare Krishna. Should we read something? Bhagavatam, maybe?
The seventh canto?
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Chapter 29, Bhakti Yoga. Text 15. Nareshva Vishnam Madhvavam Aumso Bhava Yato Chirat Spardas Suryati Rakshara Sahankara Vyanti. Translation. For him who constantly meditates upon me, for him who constantly meditates upon my presence within all persons, the bad tendency of rivalry, envy and abusiveness, along with false ego, are very quickly destroyed. We conditioned souls tend to feel rivalry toward our equals, envy towards our superior, and the desire to belittle our subordinates. These contaminated propensities, along with their very basis, false ego, can be quickly vanquished by meditating upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead within every living being. Ukam karoti va acharam pangum langayate girim yad kripatamaham bandhe shivurumdhanam paramanandamanam chitanya vishvaram. So, as the Logon or Bhakti God has said, God is light and the Darkness is ignorance. Where there is no light, no light, there is no darkness, no ignorance. Krishna Surya Samaya Haya Andhakara. Krishna is like the sun, and Maya is like the darkness. When there is sun, there is no darkness. So, all the bad things in this world are just like darkness, like ignorance, which is only absence of sun or light. Is it? That's all. Even this light here is also coming from the sun. Any light is coming from the sun. How is that? Because all energy we obtain from the sun. And the sun is a representation of the Lord, of the Lord's eyes. Yatrakshure Savita Sakala Grahanam. Samhita explains that. So, actually, there are some religions, they have this dualistic idea that there is God and there is the opposition party, you know, the devil or Satan. Do you know this philosopher, Iranian philosopher actually, his name was, what was his name? He is famous.
Ayatollah Khomeini? Ayatollah Khomeini?
No, very ancient. No, very ancient, 1,000 years old. Very ancient. He went to India, tried to preach his philosophy, dualistic philosophy. He has this dualistic idea. No. Much older. These are new people. Zoroastrian. Parsi, yes. From Iran.
Zoroastrian
philosophy. His philosophy was that there are two gods. One God is good, one God is bad. That was his idea. So he tried to preach this idea 1,000 years ago. I mean, we're talking about 4,000 years old or something. He went to India to preach this idea, but he was rejected because they have higher philosophy there. You know? But then he could preach in the Greek, you know, the Middle East. And he influenced people with this idea. You know? Even the Christian or all religion, they have this idea also. The Jew, everybody has this idea. There is, you know, God, and they call him the opposite God is the devil. Like some entity opposing God. If that is true, then he is getting the battle in this world because there are more bad people than good people. He's convincing more people to be on his side than God getting good people on his side. But this is false philosophy. Because if you put the light off in this room, what will happen? It will be complete darkness, full darkness. But if you put the light back on, immediately light is there. You don't see half room in darkness, half room in light, and fighting the light with the darkness. Who's going to stay in the room? No. This is foolish idea. So all this thing of, you know, devil or Satan, it's just absence of God. That's absence of light. That's all. There is no opposing party. God has no competitor. Maya is just one of his energy. Of course, Maya is very powerful. Lord Krishna also explained that in Bhagavad Gita. Daiviya esha guna mayima maya gunatyayam vayeta paryantim yamitantaravatite. This energy, material energy, is very powerful, divine. Daiviya esha guna mayima. Mama Maya Durateya, very difficult to overcome. So difficult. Mam evaye pratavyante. But only those who surrender unto me, Mayavetantarantite, can overcome its influence. Now, what is the Maya's work? What is the Maya's work is to give misery to those living entities who wants to forget Krishna. That is the main, because that's our original position. Mahaprabhu told Sanatana Goswami, Jivere Swarupa Krishna Nityadas.
tattashta shakti. We are tattashta shakti. Veda Veda Prakash. Simultaneously one and different from the Lord. And since time immemorial, we're trying to forget the Lord. So material energy gives us misery because we are rebelling against the Lord. That's a criminal mentality. Criminal mentality. So this section of the creation of the Lord is for the criminals. From the earth up to Brahma, we are all criminals here in this world. So the Lord, out of His kindness and mercy, He gives us a process so we can get purified from all these bad tendencies. Like mentioned here, beverly, envy, abusiveness of others. These are due to only ahankar, falsity. So sometimes we see, even in our movement, we find this, you know, people fighting and, you know, abusing each other, envy each other and all these things. And why these things happen? We should not be surprised that these things happen. Because the purification is not complete. If you go to an hospital, you don't expect everybody in the hospital is 100% cured. Some people are more sick than others. Some people are almost ready to leave. Very close to you. So in the same way, school is like a spiritual hospital to cure us from all, you know, bad tendencies and all these things, which are acquired by the false ego, by misidentifying the mind and the senses. Once a devotee told me, Prabhu, I have no problems at all. I only have two problems. My mind and my body. Besides that, I have no problems. So what is the work of Maya? Maya is there when somebody tries to be devotee. Maya tests the candidate. They see how really he wants to be devotee. Let me check. Because Maya doesn't want us to disturb Krishna unless we really, you know, true to it, you know, sincere about it. So she put some test to see if this is for real or just, you know, some temporary feeling or something. When everything goes fine, everything, no problem, yes, wonderful. There's some difficulty, problem. If we are not so sincere, we give up. Merely give up. This reminds me once, one devotee approached Prabhupada and told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I want to take sannyas. Prabhupada told him, no, you should get married. The next day, he came to see Prabhupada again and told Prabhupada, here is my fiancé. Next day. Okay, you are my blessing. So test must be there. Must be there, testing us every day, every moment. We have to test ourselves. At the end of the day, we should analyze how many times I thought about Krishna today. How many times I remember the Lord. How many times I let myself be carried by the ahankar, the false ego. I feel some envy toward others or abused others. Try to compete with others. Anyway, there is one nice pastime. Once Narad Muni went to see Lord Krishna and Dwarka. This is in the Shiva Purana. So he told, my dear Krishna, I can declare very boldly that I surpassed Maya. I am above Maya. So I told him, that's very nice, Narad. Congratulations. But be careful, you know. Maya has unlimited tricks. No, Maya can't influence me anymore. Okay. Warn you about it. So of course, Narada Muni is pure devotee, never influenced by pride or all this, but this is lila, you know, to give some teaching to us. So Narada Muni left, and he was flying in the universe, you know, looking for some place to go. Really, he can go anywhere he wants. So he saw one planet, he decided to go there. And when he entered the capital, he saw nice palaces, big, beautiful arrangements, festivities going on. So he entered the palace, and the king immediately welcomed him and gave him nice asana, wash his feet and everything nice. And then Narad Muni asked the king, what is the occasion? I have seen many festivities going on. My daughter, the princess, she's going to choose very soon her husband, Swayambhara. So I'm preparing all this. And please bless her, she has this strong desire to have Lord Hari as her husband. Wow, that's a great desire. So the princess came, very young, very beautiful, very shy, very modest, very devoted. Narada Muni even saw her, he said, who will be Lord Hari? He was attracted. So he told her, I'm blessing you, you may marry Hari. Anyway, he left, he went back again to see the Lord and asked him, my dear Lord, I want to ask you one favor. Lord said, yes, Narada, you are my dear devotee, you ask me anything you want. Please, can you give me the face of Hari? Sure, you can. Okay, no problem. I can give you the face of Lord Hari, yes. Have it. Oh, wonderful. Thank you. So he went again, and on the Swayambhara, all the princes and kings were sitting to be chosen. You know, the princess was so highly qualified. She will choose who she wants to marry by garlanding the person. So Narada Muni sat amongst all the princes and kings and everyone. And the princes will look at him and smile, you know, laugh, you know. They are envious, you know, they thought. So anyway, when the princess came to garland, when she passed in front of Narada, Narada immediately put his neck, here I am, you know. But no, she looked at him and laughed and continued walking. And suddenly Lord Hari arrived. And she ran toward him and garlanded him. She was so happy, her desire was fulfilled. Then Narada Muni became very disturbed. He ran toward them to chastise, you know. But while running there, he passed in front of a mirror and he looked at his face. He has a face of a monkey. He was much more upset. He ran toward the Lord. What is this? I ask you to give me the face of Hari, you give me a face of monkey. Why are you doing this? Lord said, you didn't specify which Hari you want. Another name for monkey is also Hari. So, I'm sorry. Okay, you play a joke on me. And because of this now, next time you come an avatar to this earth planet, you have to get the help of the monkeys to fight your enemy. That's why Ram has to get the help of the monkey, because Narada's curse like Hare Krishna. So, of course, these are just Leela, because Narada Muni is not conditioned soul, you know, he's liberated soul. He's teaching the people, you know, about be careful about pride. One should never think oneself above Maya, you know. Then when one thinks like that, he is more immersed in Maya than anybody else. At another time, Narada Muni went to visit Lord Krishna in Dwarka again. And this time he asked the Lord, my dear Lord, I have one question. I hope you can answer satisfactorily to me. Say, yes, my dear devotee, ask me anything you want. My dear Lord, I want to know how Maya works. The Lord smiled and said, Narada, are you sure you want to know this? Yes, yes, I'm very curious to know how Maya works. All right. But while I'm answering your question, let's have a walk, you know, outside the garden, in the forest. Let's have a walk and have a conversation. So they went walking outside, walk in the forest. And the Lord said, oh, before answering your question, I'm going to ask you, please bring me some water, I'm feeling thirsty. Nearby here, there's a well. Can you please get some water and bring it? All right, Sena, he went to the well. And when he arrived there, he saw a very beautiful young girl to get water also. He went there. And she was smiling at Narada, and, you know, moving her eyebrows. And he became, you know, it is said that the eyebrows of the ladies are like a bow, and the glance like an arrow, you know, pierce the heart very strongly. So Narada felt attracted, and she asked him if he can help her to get the water. I said, yes, of course. And he was helping her everything, you know. And he completely forgot about Krishna. So she left, but she will look back and smile at him. And he thought, oh, she likes me very much. So he followed her until she reached her home. And before entering the home, she looked back again and smiled again, very lovingly. You know. So now, you know, that's very good, you know. So he went and knocked on the door, and father came out. Yes, oh, dear sage, great sage, please. You come to my home, you know. It's a great honor to have you, please. How can I serve you? And Ramu said, frankly, I'm very attracted to your daughter, and I would like to marry her. Oh, that's a great honor for me, of course, man. I'm more than pleased that you're asking me this. But I have only one request. And what is that? You have to stop your traveling here and there. You stay here. I have some land here. You can make your house next to my house. I have land, you know, to work, to plow. You make your family here and be happy. No problem. That's the only request. Oh, no problem. I can stay. So he stayed there. He forgot Krishna's waiting for this water. He made his house there, married this beautiful girl, and, you know, and worked the land and have children. And, you know, years went on. And one day, there was a heavy, heavy rain, monsoon, and a river grew up, and everything was inundated. All the houses were inundated. He had put his family in the boat and was fighting for his life, you know. Big storm came, you know, and the boat turned down, and all the family on the water crying for help, the children calling, Father, help me, I don't want to know to swim. The wife, I don't know to swim either. He was going to get one child, the other child slipped from his hand. The wife, I was completely desperate. And suddenly, everything disappeared. And he was face to face again with Lord Krishna. Where is my wife, my children? Krishna smiled at him and said, where is my glass of water? All this you experienced is Maya. I'm waiting only here 5 minutes. How does that be? You wanted to know how Maya works, so I show it to you how Maya works. You believed all this to be true. Hare Krishna. So like that, we come to this world, we take different bodies, you know. Indian body, South American body, or Chinese, or whatever body. And we believe we are this, we are that, you know. We are men, we are women, this. Rich, I am poor, I am old, I am young, this, that. This is all dictated by the ahankara, the false ego. And when there is this false ego, so we try to compete with those who are equal to us. Rivalry, we feel with those who are equal to us. And those who are better than us, we envy. Why they have so much? And those who are subordinate, and we tend to be cruel to them, abusive to them, mistreat like that. So, but Srila Prabhupada explains that if we know the art how to relate to each other properly according to Vaishnava etiquette, then all this misery of life can be easily surpassed. You know, there are three levels of spiritual advancement in Krishna consciousness. One level is called Kanishtha Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari, and Uttama Adhikari. Three levels of qualification. So Kanishtha Adhikari means a beginner. He has faith in the Lord in his deity form. He tried to do sadhana, everything. But he can't still have the vision to see the Lord in everyone's heart. He knows that theoretically. But he often forgets that. And because he's still in the body of that form, he still tends, you know, to envy those who are better than him, to rivalry with those who are equal, or abuse those who are less than him. But when a devotee at least reached the medium stage, Madhyamadhikari, then the symptoms of this middle stage is that the Madhyamadhikari, he is eagerly developing his love for Krishna. Then he is friendly toward the devotees. He tries to help those who are ignorant or innocent by trying to explain to them Krishna consciousness. And he avoids those who are atheist and envious. So these are the symptoms of Madhyamadhikari. Means he knows how to discriminate properly. It's not everything same. But Uttamadhikari, he doesn't make any kind of discrimination like that. Because he sees that everybody is serving Krishna better than me. He sees everyone is better devoted than me. Not artificially, but really. So, at least we should try to come to the Madhyamadhikari stage. Prabhupada said that one can become Madhyamadhikari by his own effort in Krishna consciousness, by trying to get purified, practicing sincerely the process. Naturally, this will evolve, the consciousness will evolve to that stage. So, one day, in Germany, one newcomer to the temple, he was contemplating to surrender to Krishna, become brahmachari in the temple and everything. But he had a big doubt. He said, unless I clarify this doubt, I will not surrender. So he was fortunate that Prabhupada was visiting at that time Germany. So he could ask the question to Prabhupada. And the question was, if Krishna knew that we were going to be attracted to Maya, why he created Maya? That was his doubt. And Prabhupada told him, actually Prabhupada became a little angry by the question, he said. No, Prabhupada said, Krishna didn't create Maya, you created Maya. Because you wanted to enjoy separately from Krishna, you made Krishna satisfy your desire by creating this Maya. But you created the Maya because it is originally your desire to enjoy the Maya. He immediately understood that it's a free will. The free will always there. And by free will we can choose either the right thing or the wrong thing. That's up to us, you know. Isn't it? So we can't blame the Lord. I mean, you have to understand, and Jaivadharma Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that the absolute truth, to be complete, has to have everything. The imperfect and the perfect. The relative and the absolute. So, if there is only a spiritual world only, then the absolute truth is not complete. It has to have its counterpart. To be perfect and complete, has to have all other options. Once in Spain, one devotee told me, well, Krishna is not fair. Why? I told him. Because there is only two options. You either have to surrender to him or you have to suffer in the material world. No other option. I told him, no, there is a third option if you want. He said, what is that option? You can go to the Brahma Yogi if you want. You don't have to serve Krishna there. And you are free from repeated birth and death. There's a third option also. But that is not real life, you know. Because in the Brahma Jyoti, the souls who are liberated there, they have the consciousness that I am thinking that I'm not thinking. I am feeling that I'm not feeling. I'm willing that I'm not willing. It's all negative, nothing positive. It's all negation. It's a kind of a spiritual suicide, Prabhupada. Because the soul original position is to be eternal servant of Krishna. And there in Brahma Yogi, you have no chance to serve. Just to exist. Like a spark. This big Brahma Jyoti. Devotee never aspire for such liberation.
Even from that position, they have to fall down.
Prabhupada said 99.9%. That means some percentage will stay, because they are very staunch Mayavadi, you know. And there is a process even from there to go Vaikuntha. We don't know. There's a mystery. Prabhupada explained that there is some process there to go to Vaikuntha. But that's 90.9% fall, may fall again. That's possible. So, anyway, we promise the devotee to speak about some leelas of the Lord also, to remember the pastimes of the Lord. Mm. Once, some European went to India, and they wanted to find about the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. What is this mystery of Radha Krishna Lila? They were interested to know about this. What is the meaning? So one Prabhupada's grandbrother, he invited them, and he displayed some theater, some play to show them what is Radha Krishna Lila all about, what is the meaning. So very interesting, he showed that in the play that Radharani was feeling a great separation from Krishna. So she asked her friend Lalita, please bring me some paper, peacock feather, I want to write a letter to Krishna. So she immediately gave. Radharani sat down to write a letter to Krishna, to express her separation. But before writing letters, she started to meditate on Krishna. She became absorbed, her mind became absorbed in Krishna. So much so that she taught herself to be Krishna. And instead of writing, my dear Radha, she wrote, my dear Shyam. I mean, instead of writing, my dear Shyam, she wrote, my dear Radha, thinking herself to be Krishna. When she realized that, drew some tears from her eyes, fell on the paper. And she, without writing anything more, folded the paper and gave it to Lalita and said, please give to Krishna this. When Krishna got the letter, he opened it and he saw, my dear Radha. And he understood what happened. So he decided to write her a letter. And he started to meditate on Srimati Radharani with so much love that he taught himself that he is Radharani. So he wrote, my dear Shyam. And when he realized, also some tears came from his eyes on the letter, and he sent it back to Radharani. So this pastime is very sweet because it shows how Radha and Krishna are non-different from each other. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went first time to Vrindavan, nobody knew where was the Vrindavan forest. Because there are 12 forests. Which one of them Vrindavan? Nobody knew. The Lord himself discovered which forest was Vrindavan. And how he discovered? Because he found Imlitala, tamarind tree. Because under that tamarind tree, Radha and Krishna will meet. Radharani will sit down there waiting for Krishna. And absorbing herself in Krishna, the color of her body changed to bluish. And when Krishna is waiting for Radharani, the color of his body becomes gold like Radharani. So Mahaprabhu embraced that tree with so much love and affection. And he sat under that tree and he started to feel separation from Krishna. And his golden body became bluish like Krishna's body. So, and this tree, even a few years ago, was still alive. I had the fortune to see this tree with green leaves, you know, meat and everything. Now he left this world, went back to Goloka. It's at the shore of the Gaudiya Math temple, at the shore of Yamuna. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Imlitala. Very beautiful, wonderful place. Very transcendental. So Mahaprabhu, he asked the Sindhu Swamis to come to Vrindavan, excavate all the lost holy places, and to erect temples to stall deities of the Lord, and write books about the glories of the Lord, the pastimes of the Lord. So the Sindhu Swami came there to do that. Raghunath Das Goswami, Lord Chaitanya also discovered Radhakunda and Shyamakunda. He also, nobody knew where was Radhakunda and Shyamakunda. He was asking the local people, nobody knew. He, by his spiritual vision, power, he discovered that in the paddy field, there was small little water there, that was Radhakunda and Shyamakunda. So he took his bag there, offered prayer to Radhakunda and Shyamakunda like that. Later, Raghunath Das Goswami, some rich man gave him some money. So he used that money to make Radhakunda and Shyamakunda bigger. You know that? So, but when he was going to build the Shyamakunda, he had a dream. Where the Panch Pandavas appeared to him in a dream, Yudhishthira Maharaj spoke to him, that please, there are 5 trees at the shore of Shyamakunda, and this, we are the Pandavas in that form, meditating on Lord Krishna in Vrindavan. So please don't cut off those trees. So that's why the shape of Shyamakunda is different from Radhakunda, you know, just to save those trees. Sometimes Raghunath Das Goswami will sit next to the Shyamakunda meditating on Krishna's pastimes. And sometimes he will sit on Radhakunda meditating on Radha and Krishna pastimes. So anyway, one day he was sitting on Shyamakunda and he got absorbed in meditation, he forgot himself. And a tiger came to drink water from the kunda, next to him. So Sanatana Goswami was passing through and he was looking and suddenly he saw Lord Krishna behind Raghunatha Goswami with his Sudarshan Chakra ready. If anything happened, the tiger, tried to harm his devotee, he would be ready, So he came to Raghunatha Goswami, later told him, my dear Raghunatha, this is not correct. Krishna is our worshipable Lord. And you're putting Krishna to serve you, protect you, that's not correct. You should build yourself a bhajan kutir. So you will make your meditation inside the kutir. The Lord doesn't have to come to protect you like that. Yes, Raghunatha Goswami, definitely I will do. But sometime later, he was meditating on Radhakunda, at the shore of Radhakunda. And this time he gets so much absorbed in meditating on Radha Krishna Lila, that noontime came and the sun was very hot. It was going to get burned. And Sanatana Goswami was passing through also. And to his dismay, he saw Srimati Radharani covering Raghunath Das Goswami's head with her sari to protect him from the sunshine. And she was sweating. So that could, Lord Sanatana Swami could not tolerate that. He gave him, you know, he gave Raghunath Das Goswami, you know, strong instruction. You must build right now this bhajan kuti. You can't do like that. You know. Rani is our worshipful, you know, highest of worshipful object. Raghunath Das Goswami, he's the acharya of Prajojana Acharya, you know, the highest goal in life. He showed that the utmost object of spiritual realization is to be a maid servant of Srimati Radharani. He prayed like that. He said, I'm feeling today so much separation from my mistress, Srimati Radharani, that actually I don't feel I have nothing to do with Krishna. And this Radha Kund looks to me like a python mouth coming to devour me. Unless I have your service, your association, I don't even want to stay in Vrindavan. It is shameless to speak like that. But that is my feeling. It was so much eager, so much desirous of Radharani's mercy. But he was praying like that, so fervently, so desperately. And actually this is the price we have to pay in spiritual life. It's called laulya, intense hankering. And this hankering, Prabhupada explains in the Krishna book, that devotees should learn this simple technique, how to cry for the mercy of the Lord in a helpless mood. The helpless people. When devotees feel like Lord Chaitanya, he said in Shikshastaka, what is that verse? Govinda Virahayanami. But how start the verse? Yugayitam Nimeshena Chakshusha Pravishayitam Sunyayitam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Virahayanami. Feeling your separation. One moment can be yuga. And I feel the world is vacant. Without Govinda. Tears coming from my eyes. Like that. Once, at the beginning of the movement, one devotee, his name was Sudama, he entered Prabhupada's room to bring some, you know, water or something. And he found Prabhupada chanting softly, and tears was coming from his eyes. So, he didn't want to disturb. He paid his obeisance and walked out. But after a while, one Mataji called him, said, I just ironed this dhotis for Prabhupada, please can you take, he may need later. So he didn't want to go, but he was like, had to go. So he went inside the room again, and he left the dhotis there, paid his obeisance, very silent here. Was going to walk out, then Prabhupada called Sudama, come. So he went there. Prabhupada still, you know, tears on his eyes. Prabhupada asked him, Sudama, do you know why I'm crying? And Sudama said, no, Prabhupada, I don't know. And Prabhupada told him, by the mercy of my Guru Maharaj, now I am seeing Krishna. And this Sudama started to cry. He was crying also. Prabhupada asked him, and what, why are you crying? Prabhupada, I don't know. I'm a fool, a fallen soul. I'm so proud to have such a wonderful, you know, spiritual master like you. I don't feel I deserve to have such a wonderful spiritual master. Prabhupada said, that's Krishna's desire. Who knew that I was going to come here to America? Who knew that you were going to come to me? Like that, very humbly, very beautiful. So, once a reporter in Los Angeles was speaking with Prabhupada, interviewing him. So he asked the question, how do you take your decisions in your movement? How you take your, with whom do you consult? And Prabhupada said, with Krishna. the reporter was confused. He said, "Even how is that? Krishna is God for you, so how is that you consult with him?" And what the devotee was there, he tried to, you know, help the reporter understand. He said, "No, a pure devotee, he can hear the Lord in his heart, you know. The Lord in the heart can give instruction, the pure devotee can hear those instructions in his heart." The Prabhupada said, no. Personally. This Paramatma picture is for the yogis. Bhagavan, personally. Prabhupada is so wonderful. So amazing. We are very fortunate to be in this sampradaya, you know. Prabhupada, you know. You can't find anybody like Prabhupada. Even in India, so many exalted souls, so many elevated Vaishnavas. We can't find somebody like him. So merciful, so kind, you know, to come to the West and did everything he did. This is amazing. It's just amazing. It's a miracle what he did. In few years, he touched the heart of so many people, still touching the heart of millions of people by his books. People read his book, become devotees, you know. Recently I heard one amazing story about that. Devotees, you know, in America, sometimes they go to book fair and book big tables, you know, selling Prabhupada's books, everything. One day in those, one of those fairs, one man with his family, wife and children, they approached the table to look at the books. And the man, as soon as he saw the Bhagavad Gita, as it is, he became very excited. And he opened the book and was looking at the book and the picture, and he saw Prabhupada's picture. He called his wife, come. Remember what I told you, I had a dream? 3 days, the same dream. And in this dream, this man here, he was telling me in the dream, buy my Bhagavad Gita. Buy my Bhagavad Gita. Three nights, one after the other. He will come to me and tell me this. He was very excited, you know. And finally, I got this book. And he bought like 10 books I had to give to his friend, you know. He was very, very excited, very emotional. So just see, Prabhupada still preaching, you know. He can appear in some carpentry, but you know, get my Bhagavad Gita like that. Personally, we learned from the beginning, very beginning in our spiritual life in ISKCON, to serve Prabhupada in separation. Because Prabhupada, most of the time, he was traveling all over the world. And we disciples didn't have so many disciples, you know, 1,000 disciples. We didn't have the opportunity to, you know, always to be with him. So we have to serve him in separation. Once a devotee wrote Prabhupada one letter. In the letter he said, "Dear Guru Maharaj, I am your disciple, my name is such and such. I am in such and such temple. And Prabhupada, you have so many 1,000 disciples. I am very insignificant one. And sometimes I wonder, this is my service, I help in, you know, in the kitchen, clean and do this and that. And I wonder, what is my connection actually with you? Because I feel sometimes, you know, like far away." So Prabhupada answered him, "My dear such and such, thank you for your letter, dated such and such day. Actually, it is my personal duty to see that all the temples are very neat and clean and the worship is going on very nicely. It's my personal duty. But since I am not God, I can't be in each and every temple to do this responsibility which is personally mine. You, as my disciple, you are assisting me in doing my service. So you are my personal assistants to serve the Lord. And I am depending on you to help me to keep this service very nicely for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna." Oh, that devotee was completely ecstatic, you know, to hear this from Prabhupada. So this is the actual reality. The connection is in there is Vapa and there is Van. And Van is more important than the Vapu. Vapu is present, physical presence, not possible always there. But the Van is always there. And Prabhupada explained that once he had a spiritual experience before coming to the West. And that experience came from reading one shloka from Bhagavad Gita and the purport given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. That verse, maybe you may remind me the verse, trying to remember. That verse where Lord Krishna says that those who are in this path, their resolution is that's the verse, correct. That those who are in this path, their determination is single-handed, one, like that. But those who are not like that, they have so many goals in their mind, so many different goals. So in the purport, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that one should always feel that my only goal in life, my only purpose in life is to fulfill the orders of my spiritual master. Doesn't matter if I am conditioned or liberated, that is not so important. That's up to the Lord to decide. But my only determination is, in death or in life or death, that I should always meditate on the instruction of my spiritual master and how to execute. That is the sum and substance of all spiritual understanding. So Prabhupada took to heart this instruction very, very strongly, very fearfully. So there is one past time when Prabhupada helped his god brothers to open the Bombay temple, the Gaudiya Math, when he was a Grihastha. So he made all the funds for constructing the temple. He accompanied the sannyasi god brothers to different homes and he will introduce them, preach to them, they will give some lecture and Prabhupada will convince them to give donation to help build the temple. So this, by his effort, he was able to collect enough funds to build this temple. And when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur came to install the deities, inaugurate the temple, one of the sannyasis was charged there, Bhakti Saranga Goswami Maharaj. He spoke privately with him. He said, why our god brother, Abhay Chalam Prabhu, is staying separate from us? Only due to him this temple was possible to construct. He collected all the funds, he pushed all the preaching and all this. He should be the temple president. And Srila Bhakti Saraswati told him, no. It is better that for the time being, he lives separately from me. Because in due time, he alone will do everything. Like that. When Prabhupada came to know about that instruction, he kept that in his heart. Guru Maharaj had this faith in me. He kept that in his heart. And I was meditated. Prabhupada said, although Guru Maharaj gave me instruction, just 2 weeks after he left this planet, the same instruction that he gave him in the first meeting, that preached this message, Krishna consciousness message, in the English-speaking world. That was the instruction. That will be good for them, will be good for you. So Prabhupada always meditated on this instruction. And he started this Back to God in English magazine. And was distributing even abroad. He would send copies to America and to other places in Europe also. So he kept meditating until he finally saw the opportunity Krishna gave him to come, to fulfill this mission. So once Prabhupada invited all his god brothers to Mayapur, you know, they came. One of his god brothers, he very sweet singer, you know, bhajan, Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, very sweet. Prabhupada loved him very much, very sincere soul. This Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, he was attracted to join the Gaudiya Math because he saw an ad in Calcutta newspaper. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati put an ad there that whoever wants to come to our, live in our temple is welcome. The only thing he has to do is chant Hare Krishna day and night. He doesn't have to do anything else. We provide room, prasad, everything. So some people came attracted by this offer, but they could stay only a few months and left. But Krishna Babaji Maharaj stayed, and he was chanting, you know, all day and night, chanting Hare Krishna. Some disciple protested to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, oh, this devotee is not doing any other service, just chanting. Why is that? You know, we have to do so many responsibilities. Achilavati Saraswati Thakur said, if you can't chant like him day and night, then I will relieve you from all your service. But you are not able to do that. You will just sleep and eat. Yeah. So anyway, after a few years, after some years, Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj got some heart problem. So the devotee brought some doctor to examine him and like that. And he put the stethoscope, you know, to hear the heartbeat. And what was a surprise when he put to hear the heartbeat, that he couldn't believe, he was shaking. He asked one devotee, please come, come. I want to be sure that I'm not something wrong with my ears or something. So the devotee put to hear, and the heart was chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. From the heart he was hearing the Maha Mantra coming, you know. The soul was chanting, you know. So this Krishna Babaji Maharaj, he told the Prabhupada's god brother, his own god brother also, he told them, why Swami Maharaj was successful in spreading the holy name and you wasn't? Because Bhakti Saraswati sent some of them, you know, to Germany and England to preach. But they were not successful. They were not, maybe one, two person only, or some old lady in England, something like that. And the devotees, when they first went to England to open temple, they went there at their door. And she said, unless you bring a letter from Gaudiya Math, we don't, something like that, you know, very official. Prabhupada was so proud that he sent his Grihastha devotees, three couples to England, and they were more successful than his sannyasi godmothers. Shyam Sundar, Malati, Dhananjaya, Mukunda. So Krishna Babaji Maharaj told them why he was successful and you wasn't. They kept silent, they didn't say anything. And Krishna Babaji Maharaj said, because he has full faith in the holy name. Complete faith in the holy name. The power of the holy name. What Prabhupada did, he just sit under a tree chant Hare Krishna. Is it? Tompkins Square Park. Recently, last year, I went to Rath Yatra in New York. We went to that park and we saw that tree. And they have a sign on the tree, Hare Krishna tree. Say Hare Krishna tree, sign, you know. And I saw something amazing. All, you know, we sat down there, chanting japa next to the tree, you know, the bench. And some old lady was sitting there. And before they left, they took something from their, from the purse, and deposit at the feet of the tree. Gotcha. Like an offering, you know. And I looked for something like some kind of a plastic pine or something that they were putting there. And not only them, few people also, they went and put something under the tree, you know. They have some regard for the tree, like, you know, like holy place or something. It's actually a holy place. Yeah. Pilgrimage place. Tirtha. Because the pure devotee of the Lord, he carry Vrindavan in his heart. So wherever he go, he take that holy place with him. And Prabhupada carried Vrindavan there to the heart of New York. And he left the seed there to grow. Hare Krishna. Jaya Prabhupada ki jaya. So anyway, if you have any comment or questions.
I think nobody in the world who is living or dead will worship like Prabhupada.
Mm.
24 hours when somewhere Mangalarti is going on and Prabhupada's is going on.
That's true. Prabhupada said we are greater than the British Empire. Before the British Empire would say that this, in the British Empire the sun would never set, you know. Now they lost everything, you know. Prabhupada said, once Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, and some British devotees came to visit Prabhupada, and they brought with them some nice burfi, you know, offered to Radha Landanishwara. Very nice, you know, first class burfi. And Prabhupada was smiling. He said that, just see, you know, that even the queen can't get such a nice sweet like this. British disciple preaching, you know, to, that's Prabhupada, cultural conqueror, you know, spiritual conqueror. Of course, we promised devotee to speak more about Krishna Lila, but then we have chance tomorrow to have more Krishna Lila talk. Huh? Yeah, we should hear more and more about Krishna Lila. That's very important. To develop our attraction, to go back, come back to Godhead, we should know. Prabhupada said sometimes about religion that how they can love God if they don't know Him? How you can love somebody you don't know? How he looks like, what he do, how he dress. Okay, I'm going to tell you a joke. Do you like jokes?
Yeah.
But this is Krishna joke. Involved. Krishna is involved in the joke. So it's a good joke, spiritual. Once a Brijavasi devotee, actually ISKCON devotee, he went with a delegation to Rome for interfaith dialogue. So he went to Rome and They were received by the Pope himself. You know. He was representing the Hindu religion and all this. So they had very nice talk, and the Pope liked this Brijavasi devotee, very sweet, very humble person. So he invited him to his office, private talk, you know. So he went there, and they were having nice conversation. And suddenly the devotee noticed that the Pope has a red phone there. So he asked the Pope, "Is this phone for something special? You have it?" The phone said, "Well, this is a secret that I'm going to reveal to you because you are my friend, you know. Yes, this phone line is a direct line to speak with God." "Oh, that's amazing," he said. "Oh, can I talk?" "Yeah, sure, but be very, very brief. This is very long distance, God." "Very brief." "Okay." So the devotee called and was talking with God for 10, 15 minutes, you know. And after he finished talking, he said, "Oh, thank you very much, Pope. But please let me pay you. This must be very expensive." "Oh, yes, it's around at least $1,000. "But no worry, you are my guest, you don't have to pay." No, please, no. No. You know, with Christian religion, we are not poor, you know. You know, you are not so rich, so no problem, you are my guest. No, don't worry." And the devotee said, "But please, next time you come to India, you must visit my home. I want to serve you nice food, prasad. You know, you must come." "All right, okay, I will visit. I promise. When I go to India, I'll visit." So like 2 years later, the Pope went to visit India. And it was in Delhi. And he remembered, oh, my friend lives in here, nearby town, Vrindavan. I must visit him. So he went to Vrindavan. And the devotee very gladly received in his home and served him nice prasad and everything. They were having nice talk, very sweet talk. And suddenly the Pope noticed that the devotee has in his office a blue phone. So he asked him, "And what is this, some special phone you have also?" "Yes, I also have my direct line to speak with God." "Oh, that's very nice. Can I make a call, please? I have something urgent to consult with the Lord." "Yes, sure, please. Be my guest." So the Pope took the phone and was talking, you know, half an hour passed, you know. So after he finished, he took from his pocket $2,000-$3,000, you know, wanted to pay to the devotee. "Please take, I have talked for a long time, so it's very long distance, please take." "No, no, no, you are my guest, don't worry, no, you are poor man, you are rich, you know, please take." But they said, "No, please, don't worry, here in Vrindavan, there is a local car." God lives here. Very good. Ya Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Lord Premanandi.
Hare Krishna. So tomorrow there will be a program also in Dharmalaya at 7:45 p.m. And day after tomorrow again there will be a program here in Vrindavan. All the devotees can come and accept prasadam from Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. Hare
Krishna.
Also there is Srimad Bhagavatam class from 6:30 to 7:15 in the morning.
Every day.
Every day. So please come tomorrow morning. Yes. From 6:30 to 7:15.